हरि। यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभागिरी वरधारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदनन्दन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरीवर धारी जय हरि नाम संकीर्तन की जय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय कृष्ण। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 1 चैप्टर 7 टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 एंड 25 फॉर डिस्कशन टुडे। टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 प्लीज रिपीट आफ्टर मी। स एव जीवलोकस्य माया मोहित चेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम् स एव जीवलोकस्य मायामोहित चेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम्। विल चैंट टेक्स्ट नंबर 25 आल्सो। तथायं चावतारस्ते आहार जिहिर्षया स्वानाम चानन्य भावानाम अनुध्यानाय चासकृत तथायं चावतारस्ते भुवो भारजिहिर्षया स्वानाम चानन्य भावानाम अनुध्यानाय चासकृत टू श्लोकास टुगेदर स एव जीवलोकस्य मायामोहितचेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम् तथायं चावतारस्ते भुवो भारजिहिर्षया स्वानाम चानन्य भावानाम अनुध्यानाय चासकृत् स एव जीवलोकस्य मायामोहितचेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम् कायं चावतारस्ते भुवो भारजिहिर्षया स्वानां चानन्य भावानां अनुध्यानाय च सकृत् स एव जीवलोकस्य मायामोहितचेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम् तथायं चावतारस्ते भुवो भारजिहिर्षया स्वानां चानन्य भावानां अनुध्यानाय च सकृत् मतजिस् स एव जीवलोकस्य मायामोहितचेतसः विधत्से स्वेन वीर्येण श्रेयो धर्मादिलक्षणम् तथायं चावतारस्ते भुवो भारजिहिर्षया स्वानां चानन्य भावानां अनुध्यानाय चासकृ वी सी वर्ड टू वर्ड ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 सह दैट ट्रांसेंडेंस एव सर्टनली जीवलोकस्य ऑफ द कंडीशन्ड लिविंग बीइंग्स माया मोहित कैप्टिवेटेड बाय द इल्यूजरी एनर्जी चेतसः बाय द हार्ट विधत्से एग्जीक्यूट स्वेना बाय योर ओन वीर्येण इन्फ्लुएंस श्रेयः अल्टीमेट गुड धर्मादि फोर प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ लिबरेशन लक्षणम कैरेक्टराइज्ड बाय ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट एंड द सब्सिक्वेंट ट्रांसलेशन परपोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस एसी भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद ट्रांसलेशन ऑफ टेक्स्ट नंबर 24 एंड येट दो यू आर बियॉन्ड द परव्यू ऑफ द मटीरियल एनर्जी यू एग्जीक्यूट द फोर प्रिंसिपल्स ऑफ लिबरेशन कैरेक्टराइज्ड बाय रिलीजन एंड सो ऑन फॉर द अल्टीमेट गुड ऑफ द कंडीशन सोल्स परपोर्ट The personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, descends on the manifested world without being influenced by the material modes of nature. is eternally beyond the material manifestations. He descends out of his causeless mercy only to reclaim the fallen souls who are captivated by the illusory energy. They are attacked by the material energy and they want to enjoy her under false pretexts, although in essence the living entity is unable to enjoy. One is eternally the servitor of the Lord, and when he forgets this position, he thinks of enjoying the material world, but factually he is in illusion. The Lord descends to eradicate this false sense of enjoyment and thus reclaim conditioned souls back to Godhead. This is the all-merciful nature of the Lord for the fallen souls. Translation purport of the next shloka, number 25, translation. Thus you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are your exclusive devotees and are wrapped in meditation upon you. Purport. It appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees. Everyone is related with the Lord. He is equal to everyone, and yet he is more inclined to his own men and devotees. The Lord is everyone's father. No one can be his father, and yet no one can be his son. His devotees are his kinsmen, and his devotees are his relations. This is his transcendental pastime. It has nothing to do with mundane ideas of relations, fatherhood, or anything like that. As mentioned above, the Lord is above the modes of material nature, and thus there is nothing mundane about his kinsmen and relations in devotional service. Om Ajnanatimirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupah Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Rupam Sagrajata Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhano Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Bhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. Welcome everyone to the morning Bhagavatam class. So here there are some points made by Arjun. This is chapter 7. Essentially in text number 24 he mentioned, although you are beyond the material world, but you execute dharma, artha, kama, moksha. You execute the four principles of religious life. Why? Not because you need it, but because you want to set a good standard for the conditioned living entities. And in text number 25 he mentioned, you descend as an incarnation to remove the burden of the world and to benefit your friends, especially those who are your exclusive devotees and are constantly wrapped in meditation upon you. This is chapter number 7, and the next chapter is chapter number 8, which is the prayers of Queen Kunti. And Kunti Devi, as the mother of the same devotee, Arjun, who is speaking in these shlokas, she also asks this question that why does Krishna descend in this world? And she presents 6 reasons. So first she says, maybe you descend because you want to glorify pious kings. Second reason he says,
No, but there are some others who say that you are born to please one of your great devotees, King Yadu. And just like the Malaya mountains are glorified because sandalwood grows there. Nobody knows Malaya hills, but sandalwood grows there. So similarly, King Yadu is famous because in his dynasty, Lord Krishna appeared. And that's why Krishna is called Yadava. Third reason she says is, others also say that since Vasudev and Devaki prayed for you, you have taken your birth to benefit them. Undoubtedly, you are actually unborn, but you are appearing just to please them. Fourth reason she says is, but some others say that you appear because you want to kill those who are envious of the devatas. Fifth reason she says, some others say that the world being overburdened like a boat at sea is much aggrieved, and that Brahma, who is your son, prayed for you, and that's why you have appeared in this world to help Bhumi Devi. And then she gives the sixth reason. And yet others say that you appeared for the sake of rejuvenating the devotional service of hearing, remembering, worshipping and so on, in order that the conditioned souls suffering from material pangs might take advantage and gain liberation. So, 7th chapter, Arjun is speaking some reasons, and then he says that actually the real reason is you want to reclaim conditioned souls. And Kunti Devi in the next chapter is speaking the same thing, that oh, there may be some reasons. You want to kill those who are envious of the demigods. You want to please Vasudev and Devaki. You want to lessen the burden of Bhumi Devi. But the real reason is you want to propagate Navavidha Bhakti, Shravanam, Kirtanam and so on. And that way you want to attract the living entities. It's very interesting that Lord Narayan, when he stands straight. Lord Vitthal, when he stands straight on 2 feet. Lord Ramchandra also stands straight. Lord Narasimha, when he is about to rip open Hiranyakashipu, stands straight. How does Krishna stand? Krishna stands in a threefold bending form. He stands in a curved form. So some acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says, this shape of Lord Krishna, Tribhanga Sundara, the threefold bending form of Krishna is like a hook. When you want to pull something, there is a hook, and that hook is also bent like this. So Krishna especially appears in this form, in a threefold bending form. He stands on his left foot, he first plants his left foot strongly on the ground, and then he takes his right foot in front and puts it like this. Because of that, first there is a bend at his knee, then there is a bend at his waist, and then there is a bend at his neck. So in this way, he stands like a hook. And why is he standing like a hook? Because he wants to claim conditioned souls. We are like a fish, and we are trying to enjoy this material world. And Krishna is like the transcendental fisherman. He's fishing for all of us. He's putting his hook, he's putting his form and pulling all of us, but not for killing us. He wants to take us out of this salty ocean. What taste is there in this water? He wants to take us out of this salty ocean. So he puts his hook, the form, the name, Leela, Gund, and then he'll put us in the nectarian ocean, Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu. That is also an ocean of devotional service. But to put us in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, first he has to take us out of this Lavana Sagar. This ocean of salty water that is created. How is it created? According to some scriptures, it is mentioned that this is created by the sweat of Lord Narayan. Yes. But some of the acharyas, they present a devotional understanding. The devotional understanding is, there is so much pain, dukkha alaya. And because of all this pain, unlimited living entities like all of us have cried tears. So this sagar is Shoka Ashru Sagar. Because of our pain, because of our trouble that we have undergone for so many lifetimes. Anadi karma phale, podi bhavar nava jale. So those tears have formed this ocean. And we don't belong here. So Krishna is saying, let me catch you, let me pull you out of this Lavana Sagar and put you in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. In this way, we can see how in one of the bhajans, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, he says, Gopinath, tumi kripa paravara, jivera karane asiya prapanche, lila koile suvistara. Gopinath, you are an ocean of mercy. Why? Because you come here, you don't belong here, you come here, and then you say, Jivera Karane, Asiya Prapanche, Prapancha, Pancha is Pancha Mahabhut. So this world is made up of Pancha Mahabhut. You appear in this world, although you don't belong here, why? Jivera Karane. And then how do you attract? Just by coming, you attract, yes, your form is also beautiful, your name is also beautiful, your gunas are beautiful, but Leela Koile Suvistar. You have performed unlimited pastimes, and by meditating on those pastimes, all these people can get hooked on, and then you can be successful in removing them and attracting them to your spiritual world. So, in one story, there is one, you know, king who is not from the Vedic culture, and he keeps hearing how in the Vedic culture there are so many avatars, Meena avatar, Kachap avatar, and Narasimha avatar, Vaman avatar, Vaman avatar, and so on. So he asks one of his ministers that, you know, in our religion, God does not keep coming here regularly. And in your religion, I keep hearing, you know, this is also God's avatar, this is also God's avatar, there are so many avatars that keep coming. Why do they come like that? So he says, he comes not to rule over people, he comes because he wants to take care of those who have surrendered to him. Those who love him, God wants to love them. And that's why he comes. But obviously the king is not really fully satisfied with this answer. And he says, oh, I don't believe all this. After some days, there is some boat festival. The king has a pond in his palace gardens. And he and the queen are in that boat. And they have a baby. And that baby cries out for the mother. So what to do? So the minister, he comes and he hands over the baby as the king and the queen are sitting in the boat. The boat comes to the shore. And the baby is handed over. And as the baby is handed over, something goes wrong. And the baby falls. And when the baby falls, where does the baby fall? The baby falls into the shallow pond, the water pond. So it's not so deep that the baby will die. But in a split second, what happens is the king, with all his clothes and with all his jewelry and everything, he jumps into the water. And he saves that baby. And is very happy that he has saved the baby. And then this minister later, at one point of time, asks him, my dear sir, why did you jump into the water? Were there not so many servants that you had? I said, what foolish question is this? This is my son. Mera beta hai ye. Rajkumar hai ye. I'll not wait for the ministers and the guards and this and that to save them. Obviously, I have to save them. And that is when the minister reminds him, do you remember your question? Why does the Supreme Lord appear again and again in the Vedic culture? He has so many devatas. Parase shaktir vividhaiva shruyate. There are so many energies that are just working on their own just to serve the Lord. But why does the Lord come? The Lord comes because he has a relationship with those who are, in today's Shloka 25, it is mentioned, those who are in rapt meditation and those who are his exclusive devotees. So Krishna comes here for Paritranaya Sadhunam, yes. Krishna comes here for Vinashaya Cha Dushkritam, yes. But he also comes to establish Dharma Sansthapanartha. What is that Dharma? That Dharma is Bhakti Yoga Vidanartham. Tatha Paramahamsanam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vidanartham Katham Pashyamahistriya. So why does Lord Krishna appear here? Lord Krishna appears for to establish the process of devotional service. How will we remember him? How will we chant him? So Lord Chaitanya is telling Sanatana Goswami, Jivera Swarupa Hoye Krishnera Nityadas. The Swarupa, the constitutional position of you and me is to serve. So what is the Swarupa of the Supreme Lord? The Swarupa is basically something that cannot be changed. The Swarupa of water is that it will flow. Now you can artificially freeze it, but that's a very artificial condition. You are trying to put an artificial condition on it. But the natural state of water is that it flows. Also you can artificially heat it and make it into steam so it does not flow. But then that's an artificial impediment on it. It's an artificial situation you are creating. Similarly in this world, we may sometimes enjoy being a master, but that's an artificial situation. But Krishna is saying, Lord Chaitanya is saying, that our Swarupa Sthiti is that we should serve. So what is the Swarupa Sthiti of the Supreme Lord? If the Jiva has a Swarupa Sthiti, the Supreme Lord, because all our qualities are coming in Amsha form from the Supreme Lord. We have little bit beauty because Krishna is supremely beautiful. We are wise because Krishna is supremely wise. We are famous because Krishna is supremely famous. We have little bit of renunciation because Krishna is supremely renounced. So all our qualities, a drop of ocean water has salt, just like the huge ocean has. So, we also have a Swarupa Sthiti. So, what is the Supreme Lord's Swarupa Sthiti? The Supreme Lord's Swarupa Sthiti is Bhakta Vatsalya. If you check all the pastimes of the Lord, sometimes it is bewildering. So, if you feel that the Supreme Lord's duty or the Supreme Lord's constitutional position is to protect the demigods from the attacks of the Asuras, then sometimes he does not protect. In the case of Bali Maharaj, when the Devatas went there, they said, no, actually, right now the time factor is favoring the demons, so you keep quiet, you don't attack. And then he gave an analogy of the sarpa and the basket and the mouse and all that. So then what is the Swarupa Sthiti? What is it that never changes? The Swarupa Sthiti, the Swarupa of the Supreme Lord is that Bhakta Vatsalya. Whatever is said and done in the spiritual world, in the material world, Devata, Asur, whoever you are, he can kill Bhaumasur. Just recently we had Narak Chaturdashi. So Narak Chaturdashi is, he is killing his own son, Bhaumasur, Varahadev and Bhumidevi's son. But he is protecting his enemy's son, Hiranyakashipu's son, Prahlad. So how do you come up with something that stands true in all the stories of Krishna? There is one thing that always stands true in all stories of Krishna, all pastimes of Krishna. If you are somebody who loves him, he will do whatever is necessary to love you back. So Bhakta Vatsalya is something that can never be changed. And that Bhakta Vatsalya, that word Vatsalya, comes from the word Vatsa. Vatsa means calf, Bachada in Hindi, Vasru in Marathi. So Vatsa, the love of the cow for the Vatsa, the love of the cow for the calf is unconditional. No matter what happens, the cow can sometimes take upon herself great dangers. But the calf will be protected. In fact, if you see in the prayers of Dhruv Maharaj, the last prayer of Dhruv Maharaj that he offers to Lord Vishnu, he says, my dear Lord, actually you are Purushartha Murti. You are personification of all the benedictions. We have Varadaraj Deet in Kanchipuram. So he is the king of all the benedictors. Similarly, Dhruv Maharaj in his last shloka, he calls him Purushartha Murti. And then he says, actually, you are like a cow. And I am like a calf. And then he mentions two things which the cow does for the calf. So all of us are aware that the cow will always nourish the calf by giving very nutritious milk. But Dhruv Maharaj mentions two functions of the cow. We never think about this, but he mentions, not only the cow will nourish the calf by giving very nutritious milk, but the cow will also protect the calf in all situations. And that's why he says, Vashra means cow. So he says, Vashreva Vatsakam. Just like a cow protects and nourishes the calf, similarly, my dear Lord, you are the cow who will protect and nourish me. And if you see the lives of all devotees, it's not that Krishna just stands in the corner and just says that I'll nourish you with my form, I'll nourish you with my katha, I'll nourish you with my name. No, he protects. He actively protects. But how does he protect? He protects in a very interesting way. He protects in such a way that that devotee becomes more and more attracted to the Lord. Sometimes if somebody protects you, and if he protects you in a very ghastly way, he protects you in a very, gruesome way, there is blood, you may not get attracted to that person in that sense. But the Supreme Lord is so amazing, he will protect the Lord, but he'll protect in such a way that you become more and more obliged to him, you become more and more attracted to him, and you want to surrender more and more to him. So, in the Gita also, Krishna says, Yoga Kshemam Vahamyaham. For those who are constantly engaged in my devotional service, Krishna says, these two things again he says to Arjun. He says, I protect what you have, and I supply what you lack. So, this is exactly what Dhruv Maharaj told in his last prayer. So, one time I remember we were listening to Shyam Sundar Prabhu, Srila Prabhupada disciple, in Pune Yatra many, many years back. And he was saying, I remember this incident specifically, he was saying, there was a time in London when we were preaching, three couples and one little Saraswati. And we were short of money. We did not have a stable financial support. So, he says, there was some rent to be paid of some apartment where they were staying. And they did not have any money. None of them were working. Some of them were distributing books, trying to get money. So one day, the rent is to be paid. And they don't have any source of income. They don't have money to pay the rent. And they are thinking what to do. So, Shyam Sundar Prabhu revealed, early in the morning, he was just thinking what to do and he was getting frustrated. No money. Prabhupada sent us to preach. So he leaves his apartment And this is London. So London is extremely cold and there's always fog all around. For those who stay in Delhi, they know, you know, everyday fog. So he moves out of his apartment and as he's walking to the market, thinking what to do, where to stay and all that, he spoke from the fog. Nothing is visible, just 5-6 feet away. But from the fog, some currency notes started flowing. Yes. And those currency notes, he's thinking, who is there? Where are these currency notes coming from? But all those currency notes started flowing. They hit him. There is nobody in the morning. He collected all those currency notes. And he spoke in that class that those currency notes were exactly the amount that was necessary to pay the rent of that apartment. So he has full faith. When he spoke this, he wanted to prove the point that he said, these are his words, I still remember those words. He said, actually we were living on the edge. So living on the edge is an English term, which means we were taking a lot of risks. Living on the edge. We might fall down like that. So he was saying that actually we were living so much on the edge that we were forcing Krishna to take care of us. Young couples, small daughter, and not having any money, and spiritual master, you know, tells them in Montreal, Canada, that they are Americans, took them to Montreal, and in Montreal spent 3 or 4 days or maybe 1 week with them and taught them, and then told them, now you should start this movement in London, which is a foreign country also for Swamiji, and also the country in which his own godbrothers had failed preaching. And it's also a foreign country for these three young couples. They are not sannyasis. They are not brahmacharis. Learned the scriptures for many years, done seva for so many years, nothing else. Simple couples. But for 1 week, Srila Prabhupada trained them and says, you go there, and they have that kind of surrender. So living on the edge. And because they were living on the edge, he said, Krishna was forced to help us many of the time. So if you see these, the couples in the beginning, the devotees in the beginning, they had so much affection for Srila Prabhupada. How did Srila Prabhupada protect them? Srila Prabhupada protected them by their instructions, by his instructions. He would instruct them, don't do like this, do it like this. I was reading Lilamrit. Recently we had this Kolkata Yatra, online Kolkata Yatra. So in that there is one section, how Western disciples in India, they understood, if you want to survive in India, you better follow Prabhupada. Because the food habits, the temperature, the environment, and everything is so difficult. So there's a passage where devotees in Kolkata, they say, after spoiling our stomachs by eating what not, finally we realize, you just observe Prabhupada. So in the plate, so many dishes were served for Prabhupada, and all these disciples are also watching. The dish that Prabhupada would pick up the first, they would just have so much trust on him. They would also pick up that dish. Then Prabhupada would pick up another dish, some item. They would also. The Prabhupada said, finished. They would also say, finished. He said, actually, this is what we learned the hard way. We used to eat what we wanted to eat, and we used to eat the quantity which we wanted to eat, but later we realized, just follow, and things can be very smooth. So this devotee is not only in eating, but also in the decisions that he took in life. They were so much surrendered to Prabhupada that Krishna protected them. And Srila Prabhupada also protected them. So today's shloka talks about somebody who is wrapped in meditation on the Supreme Lord. And this is the reason why the Supreme Lord comes in this world, to reciprocate with such exclusive devotees. Recently, I have been reading the 7th canto of the Bhagavatam in my daily reading. So I could see some connections with the 7th canto and like to speak on that. So we'll talk about Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj is somebody who's an emblem of Smaranam. Parikshit Maharaj is an emblem of Shravanam. Shukdev Goswami is an emblem of Kirtanam. All of these they attend perfection just by performing that one item of devotional service. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is somebody who is fixed in Smaranam. Smaranam means wrapped in meditation. And is Prahlad Maharaj an exclusive devotee? It's very much an exclusive devotee. Let's see how it happens. So Prahlad has been instructed by Narad Muni when he's in the womb of his mother, and he has heard it very attentively. So mother forgot. Mother heard personally, in person, from Narad Muni, but mother forgot all those instructions. But Prahlad Maharaj in the womb, he remembered all those instructions. At one point of time, Hiranyakashipu takes Prahlad in his lap and says, so Prahlad, what is the best instruction that you received from your teachers? Please tell me. And Prahlad very sweetly says, Tat sadhu manne asuravarya dehinam. It's glorifying actually. As a small child, 5-year-old child, he says, yesterday we were hearing from Radha Krishna Prabhu how Giriraj Govardhan is Haridasa Varya. He is the greatest of Haridas. Similarly, Prahlad Maharaj is saying Asura Varya. You are the greatest of the Asuras. And you and me may not like this word, but actually Hiranyakashipu will be very happy. Oh yes, yes. I knew I am an Asura, but now you are telling me I am the best of the Asuras. And everyone likes to be best in their own category. So he glorifies Hiranyakashipu and he says, actually, Sada Samudvigna Dhyam Asadgrahat. You will never be happy. You will always remain Samudvigna. Why? Because you have caught on to something which is temporary. Asadgrahat. And my simple advice to you is, you leave everything and you go to Vrindavan. That's the best thing. You come out of this dark well of Griham Andhakupam. And Hiranyakashipu has never ever heard this. Actually, Hiranyakashipu, you know, he got this small child close and he posed a very simple question. He didn't ask about where is the moon and where is the sun and how many stars and what is the depth of the Pacific Ocean and what is the height of Mount Everest and all that. Sometimes, you know, parents ask these kind of questions and they are difficult to answer. Actually, Hiranyakashipu purposefully asked some simple question. Beta, batao, tumne kya sikha hai? What is the best thing that you learned? He's not asking some information. He's asking, he just wants his sweet little child to speak something. That is the happiness of parents. Kuch to bolo tum. And to his horror, the reply that he received is, you should give up your family life and you should go to Vrindavan. So what is Hiranyakashipu's reply? Hiranyakashipu said, he smiled actually. He has been contaminated by the enemy. ये इसकी गलती नहीं है. कोई तो प्रचार किया है इसको. Somebody has met him somewhere, some college program, some school program, some, you know, value education classes. Somewhere something has happened, and you know, wrong contact. Okay. So he says, Shanda Namarka, you take him and teach him the needful. Shanda Namarka is so horrified. So when did we teach you all this? But he says, you know, what to do. Naisargiki Rati, I have natural affection for Vishnu. He said, okay, we'll wash it off. Jo bhi mail hai, usko hum achche se dhoenge. And then they teach diplomacy, they teach economic, develop yourself economically and all that. And one day again, they want to show off what we taught. So again, Prahlad is brought to Hiranyakashipu. Hiranyakashipu, so Prahlad, please tell me, what is the best thing you learned from your teachers? So now Prahlad has a choice. Last time when he spoke something from his heart, he was saved, you know, he was saved because he was given to the teachers. This time, if he speaks the same thing, there is a good chance that he can be hurt. But again, he is very honest. So he says, I have two teachers. One is my spiritual master, Narad Muni, who taught me in my womb. And now I have these teachers who teach me all my, you know, Raja Dharma, the dharma of being a king. So what should I teach? The best. So what is the best? Paro Dharma. The best dharma is paradharma. The best dharma is devotional service. So he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Swaranam Pada Sevanam Arachanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakhyam Atmani Vedanam Iti Pumsarpita Vishnu Bhaktischenava Lakshana Kriyeta Bhagavati Yadha Tanmanne Adhitam Uttamam. Tanmanne, I consider Adhitam, ye mera adhyayan hai, Uttamam. The best thing which I have learnt is this, Kriyeta Bhagavati Yadha. Give directly to Krishna. Idhar udhar mat kijiye. Don't go through the demigod, don't go through indirect means. Kriyata Bhagavati Adha. Directly you serve the Supreme Lord. This time Hiranyakashipu is totally frustrated. He has Prahlad in his lap. He pushes Prahlad on the ground with anger, red coppery eyes. And he says, this person has to be taught a lesson. And he says, actually he is my brother's killer. But has Prahlad killed his brother? Hiranyaksha has been killed by Prahlad? No. Why does he say that? He says, he is serving Vishnu. He is remembering Vishnu. He is advising me to remember Vishnu. And Vishnu has killed my brother. So, it's all one. And in the purport, Prabhupada gives such an amazing understanding. Why does Hiranyakashipu tell that Prahlad is Bhratruha? Bhratru killer. Brother's killer. Why does he say that? Because he says, actually Hiranyakashipu knew that Prahlad, very soon, because he is a very pure devotee of the Lord, Hiranyakashipu will be killed by Prahlad very soon because he is irritating the Supreme Lord, he will get Sarupya Mukti. So Sarupya Mukti means the form equal to the Supreme Lord. So Prahlad will be the cause for Hiranyakashipu to get Sarupya Mukti. So he is saying similarly, because he is giving me Sarupya Mukti, so he is also in one sense equal to the Lord, because the Lord can kill and then give Mukti. So he's saying, because of Prahlad, I'm going to get Sarupya Mukti. So Prahlad is equal to the Supreme Lord. So he says, he's the killer of my brother. So Shanda and Amarka are so horrified. They take Prahlad away and then they again ask him, who taught you all this and why are you doing all this? And Prahlad says, no, this is very natural for me. Actually, you won't understand it because you have never smeared on your body the dust from the feet of a pure devotee. Mahiyasam Pada Rajobhishekam. Unless you smear yourself with the dust from the feet of a pure devotee, you won't understand all this. Then Hiranyakashipu is hearing all this and Hiranyakashipu says, okay, I think he has to be killed. And do different things to kill him. So then he is trampled below elephants, he is boiled in oil, he is thrown from a cliff, he is put in poisonous serpents. And during all this, Prahlad is never hurt. Why is Prahlad never hurt? Because he is wrapped in meditation and he is an exclusive devotee of the Lord. So with his hands folded all the time, Prahlad is remembering the Supreme Lord. Just like Ambarish Maharaj folded his hands and remembered the Supreme Lord when the demon created by Durvasa Muni came and Sudarshan Chakra came to help him. Similarly here, there are tridents that are piercing him. And later in one shloka, Hiranyakashipu says, I wonder why he is not killed. I tried all my means to kill him. I spoke insulting words. I caused different weapons to hit him. So one of the weapons that Hiranyakashipu mentions himself in Bhagavatam is, I insulted. So for a sensitive person, actually when somebody speaks very insultingly, that itself is a weapon. I know one devotee who told me, every time somebody behaves improperly with him, he gets fever. He is so sensitive, he is so soft-hearted, just by hearing harsh words, he gets fever. So Prahlad, he is a soft-hearted devotee, but he is like Govardhan. His heart is soft like a devotee, but outside he is like a rock. So Prahlad's body and Prahlad's mind cannot be pierced by the tridents and by the insulting words of Hiranyakashipu, but inside it's like a soft, soft heart, ready to be stolen by Krishna like Makhan. So, Shanda and Amarka, they tell Hiranyakashipu, don't worry, this ill-behaved child, very soon Shukracharya will come. See, we are his sons, so we are not so strong in our teachings. Very soon Shukracharya will come, and till that time we will bind Prahlad. And after Shukracharya comes, then Shukracharya will surely train him properly. So don't worry, give us some time. So, Hiranyakashipu says, okay, no problem, take him to the Gurukul. And what happens in the Gurukul? Instead of he learning from Shanda and Amarka, Prahlad creates a small Gurukul within the Gurukul. During the tiffin hours, Prahlad starts speaking about devotional service. He was already speaking, but now he is having a kind of a small Bhagavatam class. So he gets people around, his friends. He says, oh Daitya Putra, oh sons of the demons, I want to tell you something. Actually, all of us, you know, we are devotees of the Supreme Lord. And nobody can control his or her senses unless he becomes a devotee of the Supreme Lord. So it's our dharma to serve the Supreme Lord. And he says how so many years are wasted in sleeping, so many years are wasted in childhood activities, so many years are wasted in old age, so many years are wasted in young, you know, flirting around. So he says very less time is available for serving the Supreme Lord. And all of you, Kaumaram Acharet Pragyo. If you have Pragya, if you have divine intelligence, from Kumar Avastha, from 5 years age, you should serve the Supreme Lord. And then he says, Tasmat sarveshu bhuteshu dayam kuruta saurudam bhavam asuram unmuchya yatha tushyati adhokshaja. He says, and so now I am telling you something. Bhavam asuram unmuchya. You are asura, so your bhavana is also like asura. Unmuchya, you give it up. And dayam kuruta saurudam. You do daya, you do compassion for everyone. What do you do? You should also preach devotional service. So first, Prahlad is practicing himself. Then Prahlad told Hiranyakashipu. He was about to be killed. He was also living on the edge in that sense. But then Shanda and Amarka said, Ruko, thoda Shanda, Hamare Pitaji aayenge, Shukracharya aayenge, and he will teach him properly. And now, what is he doing? He's spreading the disease. Not only is he spreading the disease, he is creating a system to spread the disease. He is creating an army of preachers there. Yes? So Lord Ramchandra, he came here and he gave his own example as somebody who lives by dharma. What is right, what is wrong, what is maryada, what is not maryada. He lived himself. And we worship Lord Ramchandra for that. What about Lord Krishna? Lord Krishna primarily lived by Maryada. He says in the Gita, if I don't live, if I don't follow all the rules, then what will happen to the three worlds? So in general, if you see Lord Krishna's life, he follows all the Maryada. Yes, Krishna killed Kamsa, and then some brothers of Kamsa came. Did Krishna kill them? No. Krishna moved aside and he told Balaram to kill them. Why? Because actually it's not good for a bhanja to kill his mama. For a nephew to kill his maternal uncle is not good. It's only because 1,000 times mama had tried to kill bhanja. So many times he has tried to kill. So he's saying, what should I do now? He's trying to again and again kill. So I also have some adhikar to protect myself. That's why I killed. But other mamas, the brothers of Kamsa, they have not attacked me. So if I kill them, then somebody will speak. This Krishna, he speaks about dharma. And then he's killing his own maternal uncle. So if you look at the Bhagavatam, the other brothers of Kamsa were not killed by Krishna just to set a standard. I will kill only when there is an extreme necessity to kill. And he told Balaram, because Balaram's mama, you know, Balaram is not the son of Devaki. So Kamsa is not Balaram's mama and the other brothers of Kamsa are not mama of Balaramji. This is Krishna. Only in exceptional situations, he breaks dharma. So Ram, he lived dharma and is exemplifying dharma by his own life. What about Krishna? Krishna also lives dharma and exemplifies dharma by his own life, but he goes one step higher. What is that? He preaches. He lives by dharma and he also speaks the Bhagavad Gita. So what is the advantage of speaking the Bhagavad Gita? The advantage of speaking the Bhagavad Gita is people who will hear the Gita at that point of time or later. Sanjaya, he heard. And Sanjay is saying, Rishyami cha muhur muhur, I am getting happier every moment just by hearing this divine conversation between Arjuna and Krishna. So, Ram never spoke the Gita. Ram lived what Krishna spoke, which is a big thing. But did Krishna not live by what he spoke? No. Ram lived, but he did not speak much. And Krishna also lived and also spoke. So, he created a legacy of dharma. Thousands of years later, you and me can read the instructions of Krishna and we can see, oh, in this situation, Trividham narakasya idam, dwaram nashanam atmana, kamas krodhas tatha lobas, tasmad etat triyam taja, jo kama loba, krodha, these are to be given up. I should not become a servant of krodha. I should not become a servant of lust. I should not become a servant of greed. So we can also become dharmic even today's times and we can benefit ourselves. What about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? So Lord Ramchandra lived by dharma. Lord Krishna lived by dharma and preached dharma. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived by dharma, preached dharma, and also created a, one can say, a band. You know, in first canto, 8th chapter, in one shloka purport, Prabhupada, band of followers, he says. Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, the six Goswamis are a band of followers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Lord Chaitanya, Lord Ramchandra lived, Lord Krishna spoke and lived, and Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu lived, spoke, and also created a group which will propagate it. And what did Srila Prabhupada do? Srila Prabhupada not only lived, not only spoke, not only created an institution, but systematized it. Systematically propagation of dharma. Step 1, step 2, step 3, JOSD for beginners, for advanced people. You know, Bhakti Shastri, for those who want to go really deeper, Bhakti Vaibhav, then there is Bhakti Sarvabhaum. So many scriptures and so many teachings, and if somebody wants to enter at one level, there are courses available for them. And somebody says, I have gone through the primary level, now I want to go to secondary level, it is available for them. If you pick up the Gita, and if you are a primary, you are a neophyte, you don't know where to begin. If you are an advanced devotee, you don't know where to begin. Of course, it's sweet from all sides, but still, there are gradations. In the philosophy, there is a yoga ladder. And who's speaking about the yoga ladder? Not, you know, us. The acharyas are speaking. There is a gradual knowledge in the Gita. So, when somebody lives, but he does not speak, it is a benefit. But only those who are intelligent will catch those teachings in the living of that person, in the actions of that person. And those who are dull, they will say, haan, toh wo jee raha hai na waise. He is living great life, he is living by dharma, but he is a fool. It's impractical. Even today, when devotee tries to live by good standards, you know, some moral standards, people call him impractical. So Lord Ramchandra, unfortunately in today's times, will be called impractical in many ways by many fools. That's one of the limitations when you don't speak, when you don't explain. Lord Krishna, he understood this. I am appearing in the Sandhya period of Dwapar and Kali Yuga. So very soon, after my disappearance, Kali Yuga is going to begin. So all these fools, Manda Sumanda Matayo, if I just live, they will not understand. So I have to speak, I have to explain, I have to tell them what is right, what is wrong. So he spoke. People are so foolish in Kali Yuga. They don't even understand Lord Krishna's teachings. And even if they understand Lord Krishna's teachings, they are not able to understand if this is the person. Vikriditam Vrajavadubhir Idam Cha Vishnu. It is not some mundane boy dancing with young girls. Vikriditam Vrajavadubhir Idam Cha Vishnu. Shukdev Goswami is saying, my dear Parikshit, before any thoughts enter your mind, let me tell you, Namo Deva Damodar Ananta Vishnu. ये दिख रहे हैं साधारण लेकिन ये विष्णु है. रासलीला में दिख रहे हैं साधारण लेकिन ये विष्णु है. तो विष्णु के बारे में चर्चा हो रही है. सो पीपल फूलिश पीपल दे बट व्हाई डिड कृष्णा डू दिस, व्हाई डिड कृष्णा डू दैट. सो लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु वेंट ए स्टेप अहेड. लॉर्ड चैतन्य महाप्रभु नॉट ओनली लिव्ड, नॉट ओनली स्पोक, बट ही क्रिएटेड ए सिचुएशन. ही क्रिएटेड एन आर्मी इन सच ए वे दैट दे ऑल्सो लिव्ड, दे ऑल्सो स्पोक. And they also gave guidelines how to propagate this whole throughout the world. Lord Krishna did not give a system to propagate it. Lord Ramchandra did not give a system to propagate it. Prahlad Maharaj has now come to that situation. Prahlad Maharaj initially was just living. Then he advised his father. Till that time, Hiranyakashipu is very angry. But when especially he starts preaching to his classmates, he is not living. He's not speaking. He's creating a preaching institution there. He's telling his friends, now you should also go and preach. This is too much. So, just to see it from another example, from another side, you know, let's say we are staying together in a community. And every community has a certain mood. And one person, if he speaks something else, which is different from that mood, everyone understands. His mood is a little bit different. So everyone is serving prasadam and everyone is saying, thank you so much Prabhuji. And let's say some new person comes and sits there and he says, why you are putting, odd alo. So the mood is, in a Vaishnava situation, when somebody is serving us prasad, we don't say odd alo, we say thank you so much and after I finish this, I'll call you. But as soon as one person says, put more, then you should understand, you know, there's some conflict. But we don't make it a big issue, is it not? We say, no, he must be new, he may be sitting with the Vaishnavas for the first time, so that's why he's demanding and not, you know, requesting. What if the next meal, this person has two people next to him who were also sitting before the previous meal, but they were very gentlemanly and they were very kind-hearted and they were also requesting mode. Now in today's meal, one day later, you see three people saying, "Odd alo," demanding. So, are you alone yesterday? और प्रसाद के बाद में शाम को बैठे बैठे थोड़ा बातचीत हुआ लगता है. सो नाउ दीज टू पीपल आर ऑल्सो अफेक्टेड. नाउ दे आर ऑल्सो डिमांडिंग मोड. विल यू से नो नो यू नो मे बी दे आर हंग्री, मे बी दे आर ऑल्सो काइंड ऑफ नॉट रियली वेरी सेटिस्फाइड विद द वे द सर्वर वॉज सर्विंग प्रसाद. नेक्स्ट मील इफ यू फाइंड आउट नॉट ओनली दीज थ्री पीपल, देर आर सेवन पीपल देयर हु आर डिमांडिंग एंड दीज सेवन पीपल आर गोइंग अराउंड एंड सेइंग यू ऑल्सो डिमांड. You also demand. Now they have created an institution of demanding. So first the disease was very small. There was only one person who was diseased. Then he spread the disease to a few more people. Now disease is not just within himself and within a few people. Now they have created a system of systematically propagating the disease. This has to be stopped. Is it not? So ek vyakti jab kuch galat karta hai, to hum log sahan kar lete hain. Do teen vyakti jab karte hain, to bolte hain, nahi, thoda dekhte hain. इतना भी ऐसे जल्दबाजी नहीं करनी चाहिए. बट वेन यू सी देर इज सिस्टमैटिक प्रोपोगेंडा गोइंग ऑन, दिस सिस्टमैटिकली पीपल आर बींग ट्रेन्ड टू ब्रेक द मूड, देन दिस इज सीरियस, देन इट हैज टू बी स्टॉप. सिमिलरली हिरण्यकश्यपु, ही इज सेइंग, आई हैव क्रिएटेड दिस कल्चर, आसुरिक कल्चर हियर, एंड देर वॉज जस्ट वन पर्सन, यू नो माई लिटिल बॉय, छोटा सा बच्चा क्या करेगा वो. आई नेवर न्यू ही कुड गिव क्लासेस, आई नेवर न्यू ही हैड दिस कन्विंसिंग पावर टू कन्विंस अदर्स. So I thought, you know, tat sadhu manne asura varya dehinam, okay, chalega, thoda sa bada ho jayega, then he'll understand my power, then he'll understand how all these demigods stand in a row and beg forgiveness for me. Even when I lift my eyebrows, they start trembling. This person's disease is increasing. धीरे 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 बढ़ते ही जा रहा है. दिस हैज टू बी स्टॉप्ड. सो ही सेज नाउ नो मोर लुकिंग हियर एंड देयर. दिस बॉय नीड्स टू बी किल्ड बाय मी. टिल नाउ आई वॉज टॉलरेटिंग. टिल नाउ आई वॉज होपिंग फॉर अ चेंज. टिल नाउ आई वॉज थिंकिंग शुक्राचार्य विल चेंज. टिल नाउ आई वॉज थिंकिंग द एलिफेंट्स विल ट्रैम्पल, द ऑयल विल बर्न, माई सिस्टर विल बर्न एंड सो ऑन. नाउ इनफ इज इनफ. नाउ आई एम गोइंग टू किल हिम विथ माई ओन हैंड्स. एंड एट दिस टाइम वेन ही ट्राइज टू किल प्रहलाद, वी ऑल नो वॉट हैपन्स. दिस इज द टाइम इन द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अपियर्स. सो इन टूडे श्लोका टेक्स्ट नंबर 25, इट इज मेंशन्ड द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड अपियर्स to reciprocate with devotees who are wrapped in meditation upon him and those who are exclusive devotees. It's interesting, in the Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Shloka, if you read the Shloka, it's a very long purport by Srila Prabhupada, and there is a first part of that purport where Prabhupada summarizes the 9 processes of devotional service, and then he says, 1, Shravanam, and then he explains Shravanam, and then he says, 2, Kirtanam, and then he explains Kirtanam. It's a long purport. In that, if you see, in the Sakhyam section, the first section, before he starts speaking individually, when he summarizes all the 9 processes, for Sakhyam, you know what is Prabhupada's answer? What is Prabhupada's description? Prabhupada says, Sakhyam means to be a well-wisher of Krishna. And Krishna is our master and all of us must surrender to Krishna. This is what Krishna wants. So somebody who is in Sakhyam is a preacher. So who is in Sakhyam? Sakhyam means that person should preach around that Krishna is our best friend and we should surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a very interesting understanding of Sakhyam. A preacher is in Sakhyam. Because he knows Krishna is his best friend and he is trying to tell others, he is trying to create a system. He lives by that, he speaks about that, and he also creates a system to propagate this so-called contamination. Krishna is your friend. And you should surrender to Krishna, and without surrendering to Krishna, there is no hope for us. So, this is how Prahlad Maharaj was exclusively devoted to Krishna, no matter who is asking him the question, and is wrapped in meditation, that's why he could not be harmed anytime. Yes? For us sadhakas, this is about Prahlad Maharaj. He is one of the 12 Mahajans, difficult to imitate, and we should not even try to imitate. But what about us? Can we also be wrapped in meditation? Can we also be exclusively devoted? Can we also become preachers? I would like to speak a few minutes on this. Actually, when is it that a few moments in our life, we will be wrapped in meditation? One devotee was sharing with me, one time he was traveling by a flight. And when that flight was going to descend at New Jersey, there was something wrong with the flight. Some clouds and this and that. So they announced, we brought you till the sky of New Jersey, but from the sky of New Jersey to the ground of New Jersey, not in our hands. Rakhe Krishna, mare Krishna, rakhe ke. You can start praying to your own gods. This devotee said, I have never ever chanted Narsing Aarti as intensely as that point of time. And we also chant Narsing Aarti every day. But he mentions, long time devotee. And all of us will have our own stories. Prabhuji, in that dangerous situation, in that helpless situation, that Narsing Aarti, that Kirtan was intense. Is it not? So, at least for some time in our life, if not reactively, proactively, we need to create a situation when we will experience helplessness. Sad but true that in happy situations it's difficult to remember Krishna, but in difficult situations it becomes easy to remember Krishna. Yes, that's why Kunti Devi is saying, please let all the calamities come again and again. Why? Because when those calamities came, you came. For us, Krishna will not come personally, but Krishna will come in our remembrance. Wrapped meditation, he will come. So, how do we create a situation where we feel helpless? Generally, what are our supports in our life? Generally, what are our supports? Money is a big support. Koi bhi kathinai hogi to paisa mujhe madad karega. What are our supports? Contacts. My fame. I know him, I can phone him and all that. Education. Arey, main padha likha hoon, mujhe kya takleef aayegi, main mera paisa kamalunga. Is it not? So beauty, knowledge, fame, and for some people it would also be renunciation. That because I'm in the renounced order, this renounced order is going to help me. Because, you know, renounced order naturally attracts respect, naturally attracts support. When I'm traveling alone in the train, somebody will come and say, Prabhuji, aapko kuch chahiye? So, main madad kar sakta hoon. Somebody will come and So generally speaking, either in the Grihastha Ashram or in the renounced order, these are our supports. Until the time we are dependent on these supports, we will not be able to experience the support of Krishna. So when is a time when we will realize that actually money is not a support? My health is not a support. My fame is not a support. You call somebody and the phone is busy, you know. So in this COVID times, money did not help. There's a report from China how China is the one who's propagating technology more and more. So they are the ones who are advocating plastic money, credit card money. So recently, if you know, one and a half months back, there was huge floods in China. Yes. So in one of the big cities, what happened is people had credit cards, and for a long time, because plastic currency is encouraged, they don't have any cash. So in the flood, everything is gone and they are going to some shops which are still open. Some bread, some grain, some milk is available in those shops, and they go with a credit card. And in that situation, that person doesn't want to take a risk. Telecommunication is not working. So, hey, credit card mein paisa nahi hai, malum nahi. So these people, those few shops that were still surviving in the flood, they said only cash. So there were rich people, super rich people who were traveling in these big costly cars, but they stopped carrying cash because they wanted to be more advanced. They had to go suffering in hunger for 3 or 4 days. Account mein paisa hai, aur jo gareeb log the, unke paas credit card hi nahi, debit card nahi, kuch card hi nahi unke paas. They were carrying out cash. They gave cash and they had food. Yes. So in COVID times, all these dependencies, how hollow they are, they were revealed. Money will not help us. Contacts don't help us. What helped is actually, you know, did we invest in a relationship truly? Did we invest in our relationship with Krishna truly? So old age will make us helpless anyways. But till that time, if you really want to experience helplessness, if we can become like Prahlad, not as deep in meditation like Prahlad, but this preaching spirit. When you start preaching, any one of us who has started preaching, we understand money will not help you in preaching. Your good speaking skills don't help you in preaching. They might open a door for you, but finally, if you really, really want to preach, finally, Krishna Shakti Vina Nahe Tara Pravartan. Finally, you need to have that connection with Krishna in order to influence people, especially in Kali Yuga when people are going in the direction of sense gratification, to convince people to go in the reverse direction towards Krishna. Very difficult. Vairagya Vidya. Very difficult. So, if we really become serious about preaching like Prahlad, we are learning from Prahlad in today's class, we'll understand money will not help, speaking skills will not help, bodily beauty will not help, contacts will not help. Actually, you'll have to become dependent. Why? Because in preaching, in one sense, you are waging a war against Maya. So in preaching, what happens is, there are insults. People will insult you. There will be uncertainties. You know, you're banking on somebody and suddenly that person vanishes. And you, in your preaching program, you never had any hopes from anybody. You kind of neglected him softly. And he becomes one of your serious followers. And he actually starts chanting before you. So those who have actually spent years and years of preaching, they understand there are no rules. There is no predictability. Who becomes serious, who does not become serious, who advances, who does not advance, who inspires you. Sometimes the preacher is inspired with the presence of a few listeners. Why? Nobody else is sitting in the class and there are two or three people sitting. And those two or three people, they encourage you to speak and to keep continuing the program. So preaching is something that actually makes you helpless. See, we will not accept a higher taste till we give up a lower taste. So, unless we give up the crutches of what we think we can depend on for success in this world. And yes, for ordinary life, for mundane life, money is important. For ordinary life, famous contacts is important. But for preaching, for spiritual life, to actually want to spread Krishna's word, these things will not help. So only when you give up the crutches that we have been carrying for a long, long time, then the shoulders of Krishna will be available for us. We are helpless. But right now we have taken the crutches. So only when we give up these crutches and we say, Krishna, I want to preach your message. I want to do whatever I can, in whatever little way I can. Then Krishna will give his strong shoulders to us. And only when we take shelter of those shoulders, then we can go ahead. So somebody will say, Prabhuji, I am not pure. Prahlad Maharaj is pure. Prahlad Maharaj was instructed by Narad Muni. So, because we are celebrating Damodar month, Kartik month, there is a very beautiful small section of that Damodar Leela. So Damodar is tied by a rope, finally. Yashodamai ties him. And then what happens? With that rope intact, with that ukhal, with that grinding mortar intact, Krishna says, these two trees need to be liberated. And in his bound condition, Krishna carries the mortar and sticks it between those two trees and pulls it. And when the ukhal is pulled, when the mortar is pulled, those two trees come crashing down and they are liberated. So the acharyas take this section and they say, ek minute. To liberate others, should you be liberated? In general, yes. But the acharyas say, Krishna Dham Udar, he was bound up. So in his bound up condition, Krishna liberated those two sons, Nalukuvar and Manigriyu. How is it possible? Is it because he had an intense desire? So acharyas say, similarly, we also may be bound up, like Damodar. But if we look at people and say, he is bound up by the three modes, he is bound up by lust, anger, greed, envy, and we have a deep desire, no, even if I am bound up, I will try to liberate them. I will try to do some preaching. Then, he says, you will be able to successfully liberate them, first of all, by your intensity. And second thing is, after those two trees came crashing down, there was a huge sound created. And all the Vrajvasis went to Nanda Maharaj and said, Nanda Maharaj, your son, he may be in danger. Two trees came crashing down and Nanda Maharaj came and said, oh, what happened to Krishna? And he liberated Krishna. So Nanda Maharaj liberated Krishna, thinking that he must be in danger. But before Krishna got liberated from Nanda Maharaj, Krishna had an intense desire to liberate others. So Acharya say, we also can learn from Damodar. We are servants of Damodar, we are singing in Damodar Ashtakam. We may be bound up, but when we are endeavoring hard to liberate others, then first we liberate others and then somebody comes, the Acharya comes and he liberates us. Good, you have a desire to liberate others. So this is something to learn from Prahlad Maharaj, that how Prahlad Maharaj in his bound up condition, in one sense is bound up in Asura land, Hiranyakashipu land. Every single person there is an Asura, every single person there, but he is very honest. He says, Asura Varya, actually the right thing to do is to serve Vishnu. And he says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. And then he also tries to create a preaching institution based on devotional service to Krishna. So whatever small baby steps we can take, if we can do this same thing, following in the footsteps of Prahlad, we can also be deep in meditation. And we can also become, to that extent, exclusive devotees. And to that extent, we can also increase our dependence on Lord Krishna, even while not really being on that high pedestal of having that kind of deep faith, that deep conviction in Krishna. But at least for those few moments when we are preaching, we'll realize all these mundane things won't help. And it's actually Krishna's empowerment that helps in preaching. So with these few words, we'll stop here. Thank you so much. Jai Srimad Bhagavat Mahapuran Ki Jai. Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai. Jai Nitai Gaur Premanande Hari Hari Bol.
Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram.